HD Smartcast. You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Welcome to A View from the Stands, a podcast series in which we discuss the new normal in the world of sports. I'm Aditya Iyer, and with me is the national sports editor of HD, Rudraneel Sengupta.
Debt, taxes, and the deliciousness of Pakistan's unpredictability in international cricket. If you know what I'm talking about, then you too perhaps had a sensational weekend watching the Old Trafford Test. If you didn't, then no problem either, because Rudra and I will be discussing all things Pakistan, specifically Azhar Ali's capricious unit over the next 15 minutes or so. So welcome to a new episode of A View from the Stands. And let me hand this over to my co-host before I start gushing about all the Shahs in Pakistan's bowling lineup. Rudra?
Thank you, Aditya. And capricious is just the perfect word for the Pakistan cricket team now, which is a bit of a shame, actually, because you see some of the players, the incredible talent they bring to cricket. The raw stuff is so good. It's so good. Yeah. And you wish they weren't so capricious. You wish sometimes that they could just have whatever it is that is wrong with the system, that they could just correct it so that, they can stay the line with these 17-year-old, 18-year-old players that come out and they're just sensational. And, and then they disappear when they're 21. I just wish that that didn't happen so much.
Yeah, I also use the word capricious because I'm just tired of putting unpredictable before Pakistan, which I already did in the beginning of the intro, over and over and over again. In fact, to a point where I thought, we should just ask our producer to kind of have a counter which rings every time we say unpredictable in a Pakistan podcast, right? So I was like, no, I'm not going to do this anymore.
Let me say it, unpredictable.
Yeah, so there it goes. Ting, that's number two.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, unpredictable, they most certainly are. Just how amazing is that 17-year-old fast bowler, Naseem Shah? Okay, wait, you know what? It's Pakistan cricket, and maybe we should just take the bowler's age, or at least what he claims to be his age, a little lightly. But even if he's 20 years old, I mean, he's just absolutely fabulous to watch. I mean, I'm not even getting into, the nuts and bolts of the test in terms of numbers and stuff like that. But Naseem Shah took two wickets across the test. He basically got Ollie Pope out in the first innings, and he got Joe Root out in the second. And both those deliveries, I mean, just how excellent were they, like rising and spitting up sharply at the batsman, both taking edges, one to the slips and one, a low catch to gully in Ollie Pope's case, startled both of them. And in both occasions, reeled England back. But unfortunately, that's Pakistan. One guy will just perform out of his skin while they give away an incredible lead, while another guy will kind of just totally go off the boil. And then by the time he comes into his own, the guy who's been performing out of his skin is gone. So
in just one word, Aditya, what you're saying is unpredictable.
Is that what I'm saying now? Yes.
And I mean, in some cruel way, it makes it so much fun actually to watch them. And it's like it doesn't matter what they're doing on the field. You're on the edge of your seats because you're like, will they? Won't they? What's going to happen next? You just don't know. It's just so many twists and turns. I mean, this was a test that they should have won. They should have won by a mile.
Absolutely.
But and they somehow managed to, even on the final day, I was thinking, yes, they're going to win this. And somehow they lost it. It's just, it's amazing, but it's also a lot of fun. I mean, maybe not for the Pakistan, the real Pakistan supporters. I mean, though, of course, right now, right here, when Pakistan is playing England, I am a Pakistan supporter.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to correct you out there and say it totally wasn't fun for me. What Rudra called as the final day, which is the final day of the test match, was the fourth day of the game. And yeah, it didn't go to the fifth day. If it did, maybe, you know, there was like a chance that, I don't know. I mean, if it had it gone to the fifth day, only England could have won it, actually, because Pakistan, needed
for
wicket.
Sure. For sure.
And at 117 for five, when Stokes walked out, I mean, we have to commend Yasir Shah for the way he bowled all test match long. He got Stokes with that almost unplayable delivery. And when Stokes was gone, you know, many pundits in India or wherever they were sitting around the world wrote England off. They said it was over, right? Yeah. But then in walked Joss Butler, who basically is in no kind of form whatsoever. And with the beginning of the tail in Chris Wokes. Now, Chris Wokes might take offense to the fact that, you know, I slotted him in as a tail ender, but because he has a test 100 and against India, just like Butler.
Yes.
The same number of hundreds. But yeah, you knew it was kind of over on a pitch that was, you know, like bursting at its footmarks. So it was nearly impossible for England to hang on, but they did. And the fight back that they kind of pulled off was just, again, sensational to watch. But it was very, very difficult for me because I was really rooting for Pakistan.
Yes, but you see, this fight back was really aided and abetted by Pakistan themselves. I mean, yes, because, you know, when Chris Wokes walks in, I mean, look at the bowling that he receives from the Pakistani fast bowlers who are, as we have just said, an exciting bunch of sensational bowlers who can really do anything. But at that moment, they were the most pedestrian bowling attack you can imagine. There were no bouncers. Nothing was coming into Wokes' body. There was no movement from the ball, really. So all he got was like really balls that he could deal with quite easily. And then I fail to understand why. I mean, why is it that, is this a problem with the team management? Because, of course, you know, your Nasir Shah and your Shaheen Afridi are really young bowlers. They haven't played much. They don't really maybe have they surely don't have the experience to know what to do in most situations. And are they not being told that, you know, okay, here's Chris Wokes, just go at him. You know, this is the time to really choke a batsman, but they don't do that.
Yeah. Your failure to understand their unpredictability or capriciousness is a pre-existing quality in all fans of Pakistan cricket, because just no one, even former players from the Pakistani cricket team, like great players like Waseem Akram, are just, you know, they come up short when they're asked, like, why is Pakistan so unpredictable? And I think Waseem was asked this on commentary and he said, it's just the amazingness of us, right? This is how we are as people. I mean, like, we just, like, right, you know, our benevolence and our brilliance basically contributes to our unpredictability. I mean, like, if not, maybe Pakistan wouldn't be Pakistan, right? Like, as a culture, as a country. But talking about Waseem sitting in the press box, in the commentary box, the press box is shut.
Yeah.
We cannot not mention Pakistan's support staff for this test series. So that there's Misbah ul Haq as the head coach. There's
Waqar as the bowling coach.
As their pace bowling coach, Mushtaq Ahmed as their spin bowling coach, Yunus Khan as their batting coach. These guys can play and possibly, you know, lead this Pakistan side to victory. I mean, like, all of them have just, apart from Waqar, they've all just retired. Mushi could have retired 40 years ago. I'm sure he can still turn the ball on glass. Like, what is up with this side?
How are their coaching staff
almost better than the players?
I bet Waqar can still get reverse in the English conditions. But And this is an amazing coaching unit. And I mean, you can't really tell, of course, from the greatness of how great a player was, whether they will actually be good with their pedagogy as well. can they really teach or can they transfer their knowledge and work with you know, the team is a question that's difficult to obviously answer unless you're in part of the team. But on paper, of course, this looks like an absolute dream coaching unit. And and I wish that, again, like, I wish that the great fast bowlers that Pakistan produces, a dime a dozen. Like, every time you take a turn, there's a fast bowler playing, you know, gully cricket with tape balls and producing 90 miles per hour balls. And, you know, I mean, talking about that, like, in 2010, when Mohammad Amir and Mohammad Asif, the two great fast bowlers before this, were banned for spot fixing, you had Junaid Khan come up, Riaz come up, Mohammad Irfan, Ehsan Adil, Rahat Ali. Where are these bowlers? They're gone, right? I mean, they came up and they sank without a trace. And now you have Shaheen Afridi and Naseem Shah, who excite me no end. But I just wish that, you know, and this is like, you know, if I could speak to Waqar, I'd be like, Waqar, take care of these boys, do something about it. You know, just make sure that they play another 10 years of cricket. And talking about fast bowling and unplayable balls, you mentioned one, which is Yasir Shah. But how good was Mohammad Abbas in the first innings? Incredible bowling spells.
Yeah, he's just next level, man. I mean, like, whether he has the conditions, whether he doesn't, because, you know, he's kind of like killed it in the UAE also before coming to England. Looks like this dibbly dobbly bits and pieces bowler, but then you give him the ball and they've given him the new ball. He basically opens the Chainsha Afridi, right? And just watch him move it this way and that. I mean, the Duke's ball is basically just an extension of his hand. it's made for him to play with, right?
Yeah, and he uses it so intelligently. I mean, and I'm thinking of the Dom Sibley wicket from the first innings, and he spent an entire over just setting up Sibley, right? Yeah. Same line, same length, just a slight movement outwards, and Sibley was like, "Oh, this is fine. No real speed on it." So, you know, he had eased by the end of that first over that he faced from Abbas. He was like at ease. He was comfortable. And next over, Abbas comes into bowl at Sibley, takes the first ball, just pulls the line back a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Sibley thinks, okay, this is great fun. It's still easy enough to play. And the second ball is pitched up and has this sharp inward movement. And before he knows what has happened, his wickets are gone. You know, and that kind of control, that kind of intelligence to set up, the patience to do this, you know, to kind of lull the batsman into thinking there's nothing much is going to happen. And then something incredible happens. And it happened to then Ben Stokes, who just could not believe. And Ben Stokes took all the precautions he could possibly take. You know, he stood way outside his crease. He had the stumps covered with his guard. And the ball that, you know, took his off stump out, if you notice that wicket, I mean, you couldn't actually see the wickets. It was Ben Stokes' guard had covered the entire thing. Maybe an inch of the off stump was visible, and Abbas took that inch, and he got that off stump. It's like a great boxer who finds a way through a shell defense no matter what.
Yeah. No, really well put. And also with Stokes' wicket, you could kind of see that the Old Trafford pitch was also playing its part on, you know, I know it was still like early days as far as this test match was concerned, but Old Trafford and that wicket has basically now hosted three back-to-back test matches with the second test and the third test against the West Indies and now the first test against Pakistan. They're done. Manchester's done hosting test cricket for the summer. They're moving back to Southampton, where West Indies had won the first test. But before we move out of Old Trafford and Manchester as well, we must mention that this is exactly where Pakistan lost to India during the World Cup last year. Right. And Sarfaraz Ahmed, a lot of noise has been made about Sarfaraz in the Pakistan television media, particularly about like his absence from the 11 and whether he should have been there. But a year ago, he came out yawning after the rain break against India, and it was caught, you know, on camera.
Yes.
And
oh my God.
Yeah, a lot was said about it. I just wanted to bring it up because, you know, before saying Tata to Manchester, how can we not mention Pakistan and Kari Mile in the same breath? Because apparently the night before the game, a bunch of Pakistani cricketers, including Sarfraz Ahmed, were apparently found, you know, in one of the eateries there. Kari Mile, for those who don't know, is this thin street, like food street in Manchester, known as Wimslow Street otherwise. But it could be the highest congregation of South Asian restaurants outside of the subcontinent. And of course, every time any team from the subcontinent travels, they have a fabulous time on the street, like getting home food. But this didn't go down too well with the Pakistani fans after they lost to India. And it was just amazing listening to some of them sum up what was ailing Pakistan back then. And I would love to hear what they have to say about what's, you know, ailing Pakistan today about the unpredictability, because, you know, they're really not half as vicious as the media, because that's very similar to everything that's wrong with the Indian television media as well. The way they've been attacking Azhar Ali's captaincy and Sarfaraz's exit from the team for the first test. But the fans, man, these are the guys who make the game go around. And I would really love to hear what those guys on Kari Mile have to say about this Pakistani team.
Yeah, good point. And also, I would love to go to Kari Mile and have a nice ghost right now.
Yeah, the best food I had on that tour, hands down. The best food that a whole lot of us had on that tour, actually. Yeah. It's an absolute must visit if you're in Manchester. Yeah. I hope the players can sneak out of the bio bubble and not get caught. Yeah, I wish they can sneak out of the bio bubble, not get caught. Maybe help themselves to some amazing food and revive themselves for the second test in Southampton.
Or maybe they'll come out yawning.
Yeah, that's it. So on that note, folks, yeah, do tune into the second test at the Aegeus Bowl starting Thursday. And there's a great chance that Rudra and I might be fanboying about that game as well over the next episode. Thank you for listening.
This was an episode of A View from the Stands. Do like and follow us on at HT Smartcast on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter, or write to us on podcasts@hindustantimes.com. You can listen to more podcasts by logging on to htsmartcast.com.
This was a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HT Smartcast. HD Smartcast.